Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Morning Mojo Calls. My name is Nancy Holzman. I'm calling in this morning from Mount Airy, Maryland, and then we'd like to welcome you to our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday Morning Mojo Calls. We do these every morning at 8 a.m. just to give you about 15 minutes of Morning Mojo to get your day started outright. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about, getting your day started outright this morning. So I just recently read a book very quickly. It was a quick read. It was called My Morning Routine, and it's by Benjamin Spau and Michael Zander. And it was a really good book, especially if you've read or have participated in The Morning Miracle by Hal Elrod. This was just kind of a very condensed, easy read, easy version. But what I loved about it were the stories. And we've all heard that stories sell, you know, facts tell but stories sell. And the stories in this book were great because what they did is they conducted interviews with some of the most successful people in today's world and found out what their morning routines were and what they were doing to be successful in today's hectic life. Because there's not a one of us or any of us out there who doesn't say, I'm so busy or I'm so exhausted all the time. So let's talk a little bit about this book. Benjamin Spau and Michael Zander in My Morning Routine. It's a fascinating collection, as I said, of experiments in good living conducted by 64 people of today's most successful innovators, entrepreneurs, writers, and artists. So what do these self-starters all have in common that has made them successful? They've all developed a morning regimen that helps them start the day in the best possible way. And so let's dive in and find out what kind of morning is most likely to boost your productivity and happiness. From artists who rise at the crack of dawn to record their dreams and CEOs who swear that by half an hour of meditation to Olympic athletes who can do without an early morning workout and still perform at top levels, there are plenty of examples that are going to fire your imagination. So in this book, The Morning Routine, you're going to find out why a good night's sleep sets you up for success, how to build a morning routine around your children, and why working out is good for your mental health as it is your body. So there was 10 key routines that he talks about, and I'm going to touch lightly on the 10 key routines this morning for you. So key idea number one. Nothing gets you out of bed like an important task or something you love to do. We all know the scene. The alarm starts ringing and you're fumbling in the morning in the dark to switch it off and you want a little bit more sleep. Most of us hit that snooze button. But mornings don't have to be miserable moments or resentful of hauling yourself out of bed. One way to make sure you start the day bright-eyed and bushy-tailed is to have an important task ahead of you. Take the MIT president, Leo Reese, that they interview in this book. He sets his alarm for 6 a.m., but he's always usually up a good 30 or even 60 minutes before it rings. Why does he forgo the extra sleep? Because he wants to make sure he's planning a tight schedule before his day gets started. See, that's because he states as the MIT it's a global institution, and as its president, he needs to stay in the loop and make sure that he's up to speed on the latest developments. And if he's not up by the crack of dawn, he worries he's going to miss something. But you don't have to be ahead of a large organization to give yourself a good reason to jump out of bed in the morning. Knowing that something you really care about awaits you is good as a boost as, you know, wanting to start with the crowds or having to do something like he just talked about. What is a simple trick that can get you out of bed to have a good start is don't use the snooze button on your alarm. The author interviews with successful early risers, and he shows that 71% of them use an alarm, and only out of that 71%, 34% use the snooze button function. So there's a good reason for that. Grabbing a few extra minutes of sleep might feel like what your body needs, but in the end, you'll feel more tired than if you've gotten up when the alarm rang in the first place. Think of it this way. Light slumber is akin to like revving a car engine without putting it into gear. both activities are a waste of gas. So as much as we think just laying there in bed just for a little bit extra in the morning is helping us, it's really not. The most important tip, however, is to follow your own instincts. He experimented and he said he wanted to see what worked with most people. And he said something that does the trick for other people might not necessarily work for you, but if you realize it doesn't, don't be afraid to abandon it and try something else. His key routine number two is some of your best work is done in the morning. So give yourself time to see to it before tackling your normal tasks. Whether it's a big project or something more personal to you, you probably have a whole list of things that you keep meaning to get around to but never seem to find the right time. There simply doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day, right? We all say that. I wish I had more time. I wish I had more hours. Well, there really is. You just need to snatch them up in the morning, and that's what he talks about in this book. That's often the time when you will do your most important work. Take Shania Bradley. She's an early riser. This is someone he talks about in the book. So she'll have the time for her own company. She has her own company called Tea's Tea, and she dedicates her time between 7 and 11 before she goes to her job where she works at Shopify. So she has her own company that she's running, and she runs it from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then she goes to work at 11 a.m. for Shopify. And she's learned to utilize this time for something that was important to her. Making the right start is the key to really getting vital things that you want in your life, starting them early in the day. One way of this he suggested doing this is avoid checking your emails first thing in the morning. Author Ryan Holiday is a famous author he interviews in the book, and he says that he makes sure he does 1 to 2 other tasks every morning before he opens his inbox, his email. In this case, for him, it's writing, but you should also try other things. He says, like going for a run, taking a shower, just doing something before you start your task of your normal day. Shane Parrish, who is the founder of a street blog, also adheres to this rule. He stopped checking his emails in the morning, and after he did this, he saw how much more he accomplished and got done in a course of a day. It's a nifty trick, he says, responding to emails after all is reactive, where your morning activities should always be proactive. It's the time to take care of your own needs and schedule your own day. A great way of setting your own agenda for the day is to write down in the morning a to-do list. Take Jeffrey Coven, the senior editor of Fortune magazine. Every morning he sits down and writes out a list he wants to accomplish that day. Once he's got his itinerary on paper, he starts working through the tasks, beginning with the most important. Key idea number three, early morning exercise can set you up for a healthy, happy, and productive day. Let's not beat around the bush. Exercise is good for you. There's something that the author, of all the people he interviewed that he noticed and acted on, 79% of them work out every single day. Exercise isn't just about toning your abs or getting into shape. Indeed, it's a good for the mind, it's as good for the mind as it is for the body. Take the Olympic swimmer and bronze medalist Caroline Bruckle. She gets up every morning at 5:30 and hits the gym first thing. That's part of her parcel of life as an athlete. But there's more to it than that for her. Getting her body moving, she says, is her way of meditating. That said, you shouldn't overexert yourself. Alternate exercise from one day to the next is really good to preventing injuries and also keeping your mind interested and focused. Getting started can seem daunting, you know, especially for us that don't exercise on a regular basis. It's easy to set overly ambitious targets and end up feeling guilty because you didn't meet them. But remember, you can also start with something small and gradually increase the strenuous activities of your workout over time. A good way of getting going is building exercise into your pre-existing routine. You should set like a set of jumping jacks while you're waiting for your coffee to brew is an example he sets. Julie Zhou, the vice president and production designer for Facebook, has a simple yet effective way of incorporating a workout session into her day. Rather than hitting the gym across town, she aims every day just to spend 10 to 15 minutes on her treadmill each day because it's not a massive amount of time and the stakes remain low for her. This meaningful workout has become natural for her as brushing her teeth in the morning. Planning around your fitness regimen is another way to set yourself up for success. Take Kevin Cleary, the CEO of Clif Bar & Company. He sits down every Sunday and he plans his workout routine around his work and family commitments. So he says, I may not be able to exercise in the morning because I may have to get the kids to school or do different things, but I work it out and I schedule my workouts. By resisting the temptation to set exercise in stone, he frees himself to take this approach based on his hectic schedule. And this means he's less likely to cancel or postpone his workout session. Key idea number four is morning meditation focuses your mind for the rest of the day if you do it regularly. It's easy to dismiss meditation as a fad, especially if you've never tried it. But there must be a reason over half of the people he interviewed meditate every single day. The reason so many of them swear by it is that it's a great way to start your day. Let's take Michael Smith, the CEO of the meditation app Calm. He heads a group of meditation sessions at the company headquarters every morning. As he himself admits, this sounds dreadful Californian, but it's actually a great way to kick off the working day. Asti Gastar, the founder of the London-based Wild Food Cafe, agrees. Early morning meditation sessions are the most important part of her day. There are moments in calm when she can confront her concerns about what lies ahead. Once she's done that, the rest of the day is easy and falls into place. In fact, some people are so devoted to meditating on a daily basis that they make sure they never miss a single session. The president of Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios, Ed Catmull, meditates for 60 minutes every day and hasn't gone a day without missing this in many, many years. He says that slowing down and focusing his mind on that meditation every morning sets him up to respond calmly to unexpected events that happen every day. If this sounds good, you might be wondering where to start. Meditation is all about being mindful of your surroundings and being in the moment. So the good place to jump in is by focusing your mind on mundane moments, like making yourself coffee or tea in the morning. Whatever it is that you're doing, once you're fully focused on the task at hand, you're already meditating. Key idea number five, give yourself a little time before jumping into work and everyday responsibilities. So far, we're focusing on morning routines to boost your productivity, but you shouldn't neglect the person engaged in these routines. That's you. In fact, carving out some me time is another great way of setting yourself up for the day. Taking a moment to do things that are important to you gives you a head start on the day. And when things begin getting a little bit more hectic, you already will be well positioned to take them in stride. That's what Melanie McCuskey, the CEO of Stylesheet, does. After getting up at 5:45 a.m., she spends the next hour or so tidying up or dealing with personal and work-related issues. By the end of the time, everyone else then starts to get up in her household, and she's already in her groove. That makes her more productive and happier for the rest of the day. But it isn't just chores that you should make extra time for. Taking a moment to focus on anything that you value can boost your creativity output. Take the artist Ellie Luna. The first thing she does upon waking is to record her dreams using a dictaphone. Dreams both provide her with an insight to her subconscious mind and serve as a source of creativity and inspiration. Often she uses her recordings when she's painting to listen to her dreams. You can also follow the example of the illustrator and instructor, Yoko Shimizu. He takes a slow train to work, purposely, not the fast train, to allow for an extra 5 minutes of reading time on the train. Whatever it is you want to do with your extra time you freed up, it's important not to dive straight into work. Slowing down your morning routine has a calming influence on the rest of the day and prevents you from becoming swamped or overwhelmed. Key idea number six, you can start preparing your morning routine the evening before. You might think that morning routines, well, they're all about the morning. But setting yourself up for a great start to the day is something you can actually begin planning the previous evening. A good night's sleep is the key. So how are you going to ensure you get enough rest to start bright and early? In word, by disconnecting. This means switching off your technology connections to the world as early as you can each evening. The best-selling author and entrepreneur, Nal Ayla, he installed a special router in his house that automatically cuts his off his internet connection at around 10 p.m. each evening. This means he's usually tucked up into bed no later than 11. Author and podcast host David Cavity has a similar approach. He turns off the screens in his home at 10, and he sleeps with special blue-blocking goggles to prevent LED screens from interfering with his sleep. If he's not ready for bed, he avoids social media and says and does something else like reading a book. Reflection and quietly mulling over the course of your day can also help you disconnect and depressurize. When you hit the sack, ask yourself what the highlights and the low points were of your day. Think about what you can be grateful for helps you unwind and clears your mind. Once you have done that, you can fall asleep very quickly. Truly disconnecting, however, is sometimes easier said than done, but little details can make the difference. Take Bob Moore, the founder of the health food company, Bob's Red Mill. Every evening he lays out his clothes and he plans on what he's wearing the next day, which makes his next morning a whole lot less complicated. Key idea number seven, make sure you're getting enough sleep and you might just be able to get rid of your alarm clock. If you're having a tough time getting out of bed and making a start on the day ahead, there's usually a pretty obvious culprit. It's a bad night's sleep. Sticking to a consistent bedtime can be tricky, but it's something you should really strive for. After all, the amount of rest that you've had has a greater effect on the morning than anything else. But it's not just your morning routine that stands to benefit from you getting a proper night's sleep. Adequate sleep is vital to your whole sense of well-being. There's something Huffington Post founder Aranda Huffington learned the hard way. At one point, she became so sleep-deprived that she ended up fainting and breaking her cheekbone on her desk. That was the moment she decided to make some much-needed changes to her lifestyle. Today, she tries to get at least 8 hours of sleep, and in order to achieve this target, she heads to bed at 11 p.m. every night. In fact, she manages her sleep so well now that she doesn't even use an alarm clock. Scott Adams, the creator of the Dilbert comic, also builds his day around getting up with the right amount of sleep. In his case, that means getting up as early as he can. Mornings are where he's most productive, and he makes sure he tucks himself into bed by 11 p.m. That's important, he says, because sleep deprives you, and it makes your mind slow and it slows down. In fact, it's been estimated that tiredness can knock a good 10 points off your IQ score. That means it might be time to stop using your alarm clock and get you out of the land of not, meaning don't hit that snooze alarm. At least that's what venture capitalist Brad Thiel did. For years, he'd get up at 5 a.m. on weekdays, no matter where he was in the world, and spent his weekends catching up or missed sleep. Unfortunately for Phil, this is a less than healthy routine, and it resulted in a major depression episode. After reaching that low, he changed his habits. Now he makes sure he gets enough sleep he needs by slumbering away his body, and he still may wake up early, but he also allows himself to sleep in. So you can see how important it is to get the right amount of sleep. Going to bed early or waking up a bit later are both options. The morning routine number eight. Children dictate when you can wake up, but parenting also has its pleasures. If you've already found your perfect morning routine before you have children, you're likely to be in for a rude awakening, literally. Once you become a parent, the pattern of what you used to prepare for your day ahead will no longer fit your lifestyle. It's not necessarily a bad thing, though. Children thrive on routine as much as adults do. The key is to make changes to your regimen that works for your kids also. A good way to start is to realize that your children are alarm clocks. They'll determine when you wake up with greater precision than a phone ever could. Nick Bilton, a special correspondent for Vanity Fair, says he used to wake up around 6 a.m. to get work done. Now, however, he's awakened by his toddler every morning at 5:30. That's a new pattern. And even if the kids sleep later than usual, his dog will now wake him up at that time. Twitter co-founder Britt Zone reports a similar experience. His five-year-old wakes him between 6:30 and 7 each morning. That's canonically a chosen time, and it leaves exactly an hour of playtime in the morning before the child's routine starts. So if you're a parent, you want to get something done in the morning, you'll need to be up and about before your kids. Whatever routine you end up choosing, remember that the most important thing is to enjoy your family once they've all awakened. That's especially important if you're likely to work late in the evenings. Morning routine number 9 is try to adapt your routine when you're traveling rather than abandoning it altogether. Whether you're on a holiday or a business trip, travel means new surroundings, and that probably gives lack of little creature comforts that help us define our usual morning routines. That can quickly undo familiar patterns, but there are steps you can take to keep it in control. Try to maintain at least some of your morning routine habits when you're traveling. Take activist and model Cameron Russell. She consistently is on the road due to her work, and that has changed the way she thinks about routine. For her, it is more like an improvisation attempt to fit things she values into a hectic travel schedule. This entitles a lot of abstention on her part. Whenever she is traveling, she tries to find the things that mean a lot to her so that she doesn't lose pace on them, like reading. So she'll read when she's in a cab. She'll read when she's in a makeup chair. She'll read when she's in the airport. These may sound like minimalistic solutions, but they are important to keeping to your routines. Travel can adversely affect you in your morning routines, but remember, with a little interventness and flexibility, you should be able to keep up at least some of your habits when you're traveling. Key idea number 10, even the best laid plans can go awry, so learn to embrace change. The world is an unpredictable place. That means there will always be mornings where you're forced beyond your control and you'll be ended up throwing off course and it'll be upsetting and your tried and true morning routine will not work. But this doesn't have to ruin your day. Forewarned is forearmed. If you're prepared for disruption, you'll be in a much better position to go with the flow and keep your eyes on the prize. Take doctor and internist Ramar Dawood. Her routine is built around disruption. Being disrupted, after all, is what working in a hospital involves. Shift changes on a daily basis, relocations of new specialist wards occur every half year or so, and she can't establish a regular wake-up time or plan around a definite set of daily tasks. For her, these things vary, but she doesn't let that throw her off course. Her demanding job has taught her to expect the unexpected and prepare accordingly. Taking events in her own stride and making rapid adjustments is her routine. In fact, there's a good case to be made that embracing adaptability and flexibility can actually help you. Look at the author Austin Kleon. He learned to enjoy the days when his routine is disturbed more than days where he had his normal routine. He regarded such disturbances as an interesting break from his habitual schedule. But of course, you can't diverge from or do away with routine unless you establish one. And when developing your routine, the most important thing to remember is that it needs to suit your needs. Anne-Marie Cox, a columnist and a culture critic, who had to battle with depression, sums this up by noting that sometimes just getting out of bed is something you can be proud of. Your goal isn't to please everyone else and end up feeling guilty if you fall short of the target you set. It's to design a morning routine that helps you start the day well and achieve your own ambitions. So I hope these key messages in this book helped you. And whatever you do today, learn that what these 64 people that he talks about in this book have in common is they have solid morning routines that set them up for success. Are you set up for success, or do you start your day wandering and not having a plan of what you need to do to be successful? Every self-starter interviewed in this book had a unique morning regimen, from writing out what they're going to be doing to meditating. The key to developing your own morning routine isn't one technique or activity. It's doing what works best for you that you see results. So get your first few hours of the day in correctly. Then what comes will be success. So I wish you guys the best. Thanks for spending a few minutes on the Morning Mojo call with us, and go have a great, productive day. Take care.